So the topic for today is we have a system like the kind we've been studying, but there's now a difference. A system of a first-order differential equations, just two of them. It's an autonomous system, meaning, of course, that there's no t explicitly on the right-hand side. But what makes this different now? What makes this different now is that it's nonlinear. In other words, the functions on the right-hand side are no longer simple things like ax plus by, cx plus dy. Those are the kind we've been studying. But we're going to allow them to have quadratic terms, sines, cosines, different stuff there that aren't not linear functions anymore. And the problem is, you know, if it's a linear system, you know how to get a sketch of its trajectories without using the computer, by using eigenlines. You were very good at that on the exam on Friday. Most of you could do that very well. But what do you do if you have a nonlinear system? So the problem is to sketch its trajectories. In general, there aren't analytic formulas for the solutions to nonlinear systems like that. There are only computer-drawn things, but sometimes you have to get qualitative information, a quick idea of how the trajectories look. And especially on Friday, I'll give you examples of stuff that you can do that the computer can't do very well at all. Okay, so the problem is to sketch its trajectories. Now, what I'm going to do is, the way I'll give the lecture is, this is the general problem. We have to do two things sort of simultaneously. I'll give a general explanation using x and y, but then I'd like to as we do each step of the process, talk about it in general, I'd like to carry it out on a specific example. And the example that I'm going to pick, so we'll do it with a specific, with an example. The example I'm going to carry out is that of the nonlinear pendulum. I'm using this because it illustrates virtually everything. And in addition, it has the great advantage that since we know how a pendulum swings, we'll be able to, when we get the answer, verify it, and at various stages of the procedure, verify that that the mathematics is in fact in agreement with our physical intuition. So it's going to be a damped, lightly damped pendulum because I'm going to have to put in numbers in order to do the calculations, and that seems like a good case which illustrates several types of behavior. Okay, so let's first of all, before we talk in general, I remind you of the pendulum. The pendulum I'm talking about, it has the vertex from which it swings. This is a rigid rod. It's not one of these string-type pendulums. There's a mass here. The rigid rod is of length L, and it swings in a circular orbit like that, back and forth in a circle. And let's put in the vertical distance, the vertical position, rather. And now, as variables, of course, normally we use neutral variables like x and y. But here, x and y are not relevant variables for describing the way the mass moves. The obviously relevant variable is theta, this angle. Now, I'm taking it in the positive direction. So here, theta is 0. As it swings, theta becomes positive. Over here, when it's horizontal, theta has the value pi over 2, and then so on it goes. Values here correspond to negative values of theta. That's how it swings. Now, just to remind you of what the equation that this satisfies, it satisfies F equals MA, rather MA equals F. Now, the acceleration is along the circular path, and that's different from the angular acceleration. I have to put in the factor of the length. You had that a lot in 801, so I'm simply going to write it down. It's the mass, therefore, the acceleration, the linear acceleration along the circular path is equal to the angular acceleration times L. So it's L times theta prime prime, or double dot if you prefer. And this much of it is the acceleration vector. Now, what's the forces acting on it? Well, there's a force of gravity, which is pulling it straight down. But of course, that's not the relevant force. I'm interested in the force that acts along that circular line. And that will not be all of the pink line, but only its component in that direction. And the component, I fill out the little right triangle. And then the way to get the component in that direction, it's the pink, this pink part, the vertical pink part is mg, has the magnitude mg. But since I only want this part, I have to multiply by the sine of this angle. Now, sometimes I've given on a diagnostic test to students when you enter to what angle is that. But of course, anybody can guess it must be theta. Otherwise, why would he be asking it? So this is still the angle theta. You can prove these two triangles are similar. One of them I haven't even written in, but it would be the right triangle whose leg is this perpendicular to the. So the right angle is here. So if that's theta, then this, the length of this small pink line is mg times the sine of theta. So that's the force due to gravity acting along. So it's mg sine theta, except in what direction is it? It's acting in the negative direction. This is theta increasing. So this is the opposite direction. So I should put a negative sign in front of it. But that's not the only force. There's also a damping force, which is like goes with the velocity. So, and that also occurs if the velocity is positive, the angular velocity is positive, the angle theta is increasing, in other words, the damping force resists that. It's opposite to the velocity. So the velocity is going to be L times theta prime. So there's my velocity v, linear velocity, not angular velocity. And so this is going to be a negative times some constant times that c1. Now, that's the equation, but let's make it look a little better by getting rid of some of these constants. If I write it out this way and put everything on the left-hand side the way is usually done in writing a second-order differential equation. So theta, I'm going to divide through by ml and put everything on the left-hand side and in the right order. Next should come the theta prime term. And so that's going to be C1L divided by ML. So that's C1 over M. The L's cancel out. And finally, the last term on the right is I will move this over to the left. But remember, everything's being divided by ML. So the M's cancel out. And it's plus G over L times the sine of theta. That's our differential equation. But let's make it look still a little bit better by lumping these constants and giving them new names. So it's going to be finally theta double prime plus, I'll simply call this thing the damping constant. Lump those two together into single damping constant. And then G over L, I'll lump those together too. And we usually call that K. K sine theta. Okay, now, this is a second order differential equation, but it's not linear. If this were a month and a half ago and I said solve that, you would stare at me. But anyway, you couldn't solve that, and nobody can in some sense. It's a nonlinear equation. It doesn't have any exact solution. The only thing you can do is look for a solution in infinite series or something like that. Well, so what do you do? Well, you throw it on the computer. That's the easy answer, but what does the computer do? Well, the computer, the first thing it does, it turns it into a system, because even the computer is going to use numerical methods to solve it, but it only those methods handle the formulas it uses, Euler's or the modified or improved Euler or the Runge-Kutta method. They're always expressed not for single higher order equations, but instead they always assume that the equation has been converted to a first order system. So let's do that for the computer, even though it could do it, it will do it itself if nobody tells it not to. So theta prime is equal to, now I have to figure out what new variable to introduce. Normally we use x prime, we call that y. That really doesn't seem to be very suitable here. But what do the physicists call it? The angular, this is the angular velocity, and the standard designation for that is omega. Two Greek letters. I told you this was going to be hard. Omega prime equals what? Well, omega prime equals, and now you do it in the standard way you convert the system. But remember, you have to put the theta first and then the, oh. So it's minus k sine theta, the theta first, and then the omega term first. So minus c times omega. Minus c theta prime, but theta prime is in real life omega. And now we have our acceptable system. The only problem is I haven't put in any numbers yet. So the numbers I'm going to put in will make it lightly damped. So I'm going to give C, think of it here, this is the damping, and this is the stuff representing, well, if I want to make it lightly damped, all I'm saying is that C should be small compared with K. But it doesn't have to be very small. I'm going to take C equal 1 and K equal 2. That will make it lightly enough damped. So this is the lightly damped values which give light damping, under damping. In other words, they're going to allow the pendulum to swing back and forth instead of stickily going, ending up there. So finally, therefore, the system that we're going to calculate with is theta prime equals omega, and omega prime equals negative 2 sine theta minus omega. And now what do we do with that? Okay, so there's our example. That's our system. It represents a pendulum swinging back and forth, damp way. And now let's go back to the general theory. And in general, if you have a nonlinear system, how do you go about analyzing it? The first step is to find the simplest possible solutions, solutions that you hope can be found by inspection. Now, what would they be? They are the solutions which consist of a single point. A single point. What is a single? How could a solution be a single point? Well, like the origin for a linear system. So I'm looking for those points which form solutions all by themselves are called the critical points. Look for the critical points of the system. That's the first step. So the definition is a critical point, x0, y0, for that to be a critical point means that it makes the right-hand side 0. So the f is 0 there, and the g is 0 there. You see the significance of that. If you have such a point, let's say here, there's a point, a critical point. OK, now, what's the velocity field at that point? Well, it's given by the vectors on the right-hand side, but both the components are 0. That means at this point, the velocity vector is 0. Well, that means if a solution starts there, you put the mouse there and tell it to move, where do you go? It's got no reason to go anywhere since the velocity vector is 0 there. So it sits. It sits there for all time. And indeed, it solves the system, doesn't it? the right-hand side, it makes the right-hand side 0, and it makes the left-hand side 0 because x equals x0, y equals y0 for all time. If that's true for all time, it sits there, then the derivatives with respect to time are 0. So the left-hand sides are zeros, and the right-hand sides are zeros. Everybody's happy. Well, these are great points. How do I find them? Well, I'm looking for points which make these two functions 0. So I find them by solving, I solve simultaneously. The equations f of x, y equals 0, and g of x, y equals 0. A pair of equations, but the trouble is, those aren't linear equations. Linear equations you know how to solve. But they're not linear equations. They're nonlinear equations, which you do not know how to solve. And to some extent, nobody else does either. There are very fat books in the library whose topic is how to solve a pair of, just a pair of equations, f of x, y equals 0, g of x, y equals 0. And it's quite a hard problem. It's even a hard problem by computer. Because if you know approximately where it is, where the solution is going to be, you know, you can make up the little screen, and then the computer will find it for you. Or even without a screen, it will be, you know, it can it will calculate it by Newton's method or something else. It will zero in. The problem is, if you don't know in advance roughly where the critical point is that you're looking for, there are a lot of numbers. They go to infinity that way and infinity that way. In general, it's almost an impossible problem unless the only thing that makes it possible is that these problems always come from the real world, and one has some physical feeling for, one hopes, for where the critical point is. But so I'm going to assume breezily and cheerily we can solve those. And I'm only going to give you examples where it is possible to solve them. But even there, you have to watch out. There are certain trickinesses which will be talked about in the recitations tomorrow. Okay, so we found the critical point, so let's do it for our example. Let's find the critical point. What's the pair of equations we have to solve? We have to solve the equations omega equals 0 minus 2 sine theta minus omega equals 0. Now, it's not always this easy, but the solution is omega is 0. If omega is 0, then sine theta is 0. And sine theta is 0 at the integral multiples of pi. So the critical points are, at the critical points, omega is always 0, and theta is 0. It could be plus or minus pi, plus or minus 2 pi, and so on. In other words, there are an infinity of critical points. That seems a little discouraging. On the other hand, there are really only two. There are really physically only two, because zero, omega equals 0 means the mass is not moving. The angular velocity is 0. So it's only the theta position which is changing. Now, what are the possible theta positions? Well, here's our nonlinear pendulum. OK, here is the critical point, theta equals 0, omega equals 0. Theta equals 0 means it's vertical. The rod is vertical. Omega equals 0 means that it's not moving despite the fact that it's moving. Theoretically, it's not moving. OK. Now, what's the other one? Well, there's pi. Theta equals pi. Now, theta is now starting from 0 and increasing, I hope, through positive theta. And when it gets to pi, it's sticking straight up in the air. And so the claim is that another critical point is theta equals pi and omega equals 0. In other words, if it gets to this position, it starts out in this position, it stays there for all time, as you see. but my point is that what about 2 pi? What about negative pi? That's the same as pi. 2 pi is the same as 0. So physically, there are really only two critical points, this one and that one. And they obviously have something very different about them. This critical point is stable. If I start near there, I approach that critical point in infinite time. This one, if I start near there, I do not stay near there. I always leave it. I always leave it. So, of the two critical points, this one is physically, it's clear that zero, the critical point, zero, zero, and the other guys that look like it, 2 pi, zero, and so on, is a stable critical point, whereas pi, when theta is sticking straight up in the air, pi, zero, is unstable. Now, of course, we'll want to see that mathematically also. But so there are basically just physically just 2 points. There are just 2 critical points. Well, that really raises the question for me, what about all the others? As you'll see, we have to have those. They're an essential part of the problem. They're not just redundant baggage that's trailing along. They're really important. You'll see that when we talk about, finally, how the trajectories look and how the solutions look. Okay, now what do we do? Well, now we found the critical points. And now the work begins. Virtually all the work is in this next step. Okay, so what do we do? Step 2. I can only describe it in general terms, but here's what you do. For each critical point, x0, y0, it's a procedure which has to be done at each one. You linearize the system near that point. In other words, you find a linear system, the good kind, the kind you know about, which is a good approximation to the nonlinear system at that critical point. Plot the trajectories of this linearized system, and you do that near the critical point. How do you plot the trajectories? Well, that you knew how to do on Friday, so I'm assuming you still know how to do it on Monday. In other words, if the system is linear, you know how to plot the trajectories of it by calculating eigenvalues and eigenvectors and maybe the direction of motion if it's a spiral. I'll give you a couple of examples of that now when we work out the pendulum. But on the other hand, how do I linearize a system? Well, there are 2 methods. There's one method that the book gives you, which by and large I don't want you to use, although I'll give you an example of it now. I want you to use another method because it's much faster, especially if you have to handle several critical points. It's much, much faster. So let's first carry this out on an easy case, and then I'll show you how to do it in general. So just this once, I'll use the book's method because I think it's the method which would naturally occur to you. So let's linearize this example at the point 0, 0. What should be the system, the linearized system? Well, the theta prime, in other words, it's only the nonlinear terms I have to worry about. Omega prime equals, well, the minus omega is fine. It's that stupid sine theta that I don't like. But if theta is small, in other words, if I stay near 0, I can replace sine theta by theta. So it's minus, the linearized system is minus 2. You replace sine theta by theta. I better put this out. Since sine theta is approximately theta if theta is small, if theta is near 0. It's the first term of its Taylor series, you can think of. Or it's just its linear the linear approximation starts out sine theta equals theta. That's it. Or you draw a picture, sine theta, I don't know, a million ways to do it. Okay, so we got it. So now what do I do? Okay, we'll plot that. So the matrix, let's do our little routine, in other words. So I'm writing right to left because for no reason. So the matrix is, so now I'm just going to make marks on a board the way you did on your exam. So it's 0, 1, I don't know what I'm doing, but you know. So negative 2, 1, negative 1, and then I write down the eigen, whatchamacallit, lambda squared plus lambda, the trace minus the trace. The determinant is 2, minus minus 2, so it's plus 2 equals 0. And then since it doesn't occur to me how to factor this, I'll use the quadratic formula. It's negative 1 plus or minus the square root of, what is this? B squared minus 4ac is minus 7? Complex. That means it's going to be a spiral. I'm going to get a spiral. Will it be a source or a sink? Since it's complex roots. Complex eigenvalues give a spiral. And a source or a sink, I tell that from the sign of the real part. The real part is negative 1/2, and therefore the amplitude is shrinking, like e to the minus t over 2. And therefore, the spiral's coming into the origin. It's a spiral sink, since lambda equals minus 1/2 plus some number times I. Spiral sink. And the only other thing to determine is its direction of motion, which will be what? I determine its direction of motion by putting in a single vector from the velocity field. So here it is. The vector we put in is the vector at 1, 0 will be the same as the first column of the matrix. So that's 0, negative 2. So here's a vector from the velocity field, and that shows that the motion is clockwise, and it's spiraling into the origin. And that's a picture, therefore, at the origin of how that looks. Now, it's of the utmost importance for your understanding of what comes now that you understand in what sense this picture corresponds to the physical behavior of the pendulum. Let's start it over here. What's it doing? Okay, theta, that means that theta is some number like 1, for example. Let's make it smaller. Let's say it's a little bit. And this is the omega axis. Okay, if it starts over here, that means the velocity, the angular velocity is 0, and theta is a small positive number. Theta is a small positive number. The angular velocity is 0. Okay, it's velocity 0, theta small and positive. I release it, and it does that. What does this have to do with this spiral? Well, the spiral is exactly a mathematical picture of this motion. What happens? Theta starts to decrease, and the angular velocity increases, but in the negative direction. This is negative angular velocity, right? Positive theta. Theta is decreasing. The angular velocity gets bigger and bigger, and it's biggest, most negative, when theta is 0. Has reached the vertical position, that's when the angular velocity is biggest. It continues then, theta gets negative, but the angular velocity then decreases to 0. So, now the angular velocity is 0, and theta is at its most negative, and then it reverses. Angular velocity gets positive as theta increases again, and so on. These represent the successive swings back and forth. Notice the fact that it's damped is reflected in the fact that it doesn't each successive swing, the biggest the theta gets is a little less than it was before. In other words, this point isn't quite as far out as that one, and this one isn't as far out as that one. In other words, it's spiraling in. Well, I hope that's clear, because we now got to go to the other critical point, the next critical point. And now we have a little problem. If I want to do the next critical point, so what I want to do now is, in other words, I want to linearize at the point pi 0. But theta is pi, and the thing is sticking up in the air. The question is, how am I going to do that? This trick of replacing sine theta by theta, that doesn't work at pi. That works at 0. OK, so now we have to go to the next step of the method. The way to do this, in general, as you'll read in the notes, but as I say, this is not in the book, is to calculate the Jacobian. I mean the Jacobian matrix. The Jacobian is the determinant. I mean, before you put the two bars down and made a determinant, you called it just the Jacobian matrix. And it's the formula for it is, it's calculated from f and g. The top line is the partial of f with respect to x and y. And the bottom line is the partial with respect to g of g with respect to x and y. So that's the Jacobian matrix. Now, that matrix, I hope I get a chance at the end of the period to explain to you why this, but I'm most anxious right now to at least get you familiar with the algorithm, how to do it. The notes describe the why of it if we don't get a chance to get to it, but I hope we will. Okay, what do? The Jacobian matrix, you calculate it at the point x0, y0. I'll indicate that by putting a subscript 0 on it. This means without the subscript 0, it's the Jacobian matrix calculated out of those four partial derivatives. When I put a subscript 0, I mean I evaluated it at the critical point by plugging in. Each entry is a function of x and y. You plug in for x0, x equals x0, y equals y0, and you get a numerical matrix. That's the matrix which is the matrix of the linearized system. This is the matrix of the linearized system. Trust me, it is. Now, since I don't expect you to trust me, let's calculate it. Here, we got the matrix another way by this procedure of saying sine theta is theta. What would we have gotten if we had done it instead by the linearized system? So let's do it that way. So let's do it via the Jacobian. Okay, so I need to know the Jacobian of the system, which I have conveniently covered up. There's the system, okay? So the Jacobian matrix is what? It is. The top line, I take the partial derivative of omega first with respect to theta and then with respect to omega. I then take the second line on the right-hand side. I take its partial with respect to theta first. That is negative 2 cosine theta. And thinking ahead, I erase the 1. Move it over a little bit. And what's the partial of that thing with respect to omega? It is negative 1. Everyone see how I calculated that Jacobian matrix? And now I want to evaluate it. Let's do our old case first. At 0, 0, what would this have amounted to? This would have been given me 0, 1. The cosine of theta at 0 is 1, so this is negative 2. Negative 1, da-da, da-da. OK, I'm screwed. Okay, that is the same as that. Now you see it, now you don't. Okay? So we got our old answer back. Okay, that should give us enough confidence to use it in the new case where I don't have an old answer to compare it with. So what is it going to be at pi 0? What is it going to be at pi 0? The answer is J0 is now going to be. Well, everything is the same, 0, 1, negative 1. And here, cosine of pi is negative 1. So negative 2 times negative 1 is 2. Everything's the same, except there's a 2 there now instead of negative 2. OK, lambda squared plus lambda. The determinant is now negative 2. And this factors into lambda plus 2 times lambda minus 1. So lambda equals 1, the corresponding eigenvector is, so it's, I subtract 1 here, so it's, the equation is minus a1 plus a2 is 0, so the solution is 1 e to the t. And for the other one, it's lambda is equal to negative 2. This is the sort of stuff you can do, so I'll do it fast. Lambda is negative 2, so that's 0 minus negative 2. That's 2. So the equation is 2a1 plus a2 equals 0. And the solution is now I give a1 the value 1, a2 will be negative 2, and that's times e to the minus 2t. Well, what does the thing then actually look like? So what I'm now going to do is I drew a picture before of that spiral picture we had before of the way the thing looked at the point 0, 0. So at the point pi 0, how does it look now? Well, this is, it looks like the origin, but I'm thinking of it really as the point pi 0. In other words, I'm thinking of a variable change, linear variable change have been made sliding along the axis so that the point pi 0 now looks like the origin. If I do that, then the eigenvector, those two basic solutions, there's the 1, 1 solution, I better erase this. The 1, 1 solution, which is going out and that way, and it's going out this way. But the other guy is coming in along the vector 1, negative 2. So 1, negative 2 looks like this. So this guy's coming in at a somewhat sharper angle, coming in because it's e to the negative 2t. And we recognize this, as, of course, as a saddle. And I would complete the trajectories by putting in some of the typical saddle lines like that. Now, I say that, too, gives a picture of what's happening to the pendulum near that point. Let's, for example, look at here. What's happening here? Okay, so this is theta. This is theta, or really it's theta plus theta minus pi is this axis. In other words, so that this will be 0. When theta is pi, this will correspond to the point 0. Here is omega. OK, so what's theta doing? Starting up there, this represents a value of theta a little bit less than pi, a little bit to the negative, a little bit less than pi. So there's, so here's pi. So a little bit less than pi is over here. Okay, a little bit less than pi, a little bit less. And omega is 0. What happened? Theta started decreasing and ever more rapidly, so that though omega was 0 here, now omega is gets negative, is negative and gets much more negative. In other words, both theta decreases from that point and omega decreases also. What happened here? Here, theta is a little bit more than pi, so it's getting to be pi. Now it's a little bit more than pi. Theta now increases until it gets to 2 pi and then oscillates around 2 pi. So theta increases and omega increases too, because the angular velocity, it started at 0, but as theta gets more positive, omega gets positive too, because theta is increasing. So omega increases and theta increases, and it goes off like that. Well, the final step is to put them all together to be the big picture. So here we are for 3, let's say. 3. The big picture. Plot trajectories around each critical point, and then add some. It's that last step which can cause you a little grief, but we'll see how it works out. Add some more according to your best judgment. So let's make a big picture now of our pendulum the way it apparently ought to look, okay? Nice big axis, since we've got to accommodate a lot of critical points here. Let's put in some critical points. Okay, here's the origin, and now here's the one at pi, let's say. Here's one at 2 pi. I'm going to add some of these others, 3 pi, 4 pi. I won't write in their values. You can figure out what I mean. Okay, 0 here. And then here it'll be negative pi, and here negative 2 pi. I guess I can stop there. So that's the theta axis, and here's the omega axis. And now at each one of these, I put in the linearized, so I stay nearby and I draw the linear trajectories, the trajectories of the corresponding linearized system. So we decided here that the spiral went clockwise. Now this point is physically, of course, the same as that one, but mathematically, the Jacobian matrix is the same also, because if theta is 2 pi, the cosine of 2 pi is also 1, and this is the same matrix, so the analysis is identical. And therefore, this point will also correspond to a counterclockwise spiral, as will this one. I'm sorry, a clockwise spiral. Here, too. All of these points are the same. The behavior near them, clockwise spirals everywhere. How about the other ones? Well, the other ones correspond to these saddles. So I'll draw them. Let's draw them efficiently by putting, do the same thing on every one, mass production of saddles there. Okay, and these guys go out, and the other guys come in. Come in, come in, come in. And so here we have a little bit there, a little here, here, there, everywhere. Ta-da, 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 ta-da. Now what? Now, you pray for inspiration, and what you have to do is add trajectories which are compatible with the ones you have. So start nearby. So, okay, look, let's start with this guy. Where's it going? Well, a trajectory either goes off to infinity, but generally they get trapped around critical points. This guy must be surely doing this. How about this one? Yeah, sure. How about this one? Why not? How about that one? Yeah. Okay. But notice, I never, you're in trouble when two arrows you want to put in are near each other and going in opposite direction. That you cannot have. Continuity forbids it. But I notice if I, for example, gotten these eigenlines wrong, if I made this come in and those go out because I made a simple error in drawing the thing, I would have said, but I can't draw this picture because this spiral wants to go that way, but this right next to it wants to go the other way. That's the way you know you made a mistake. If you didn't make a mistake, you won't have any trouble filling these things in. The directions of motions of the spirals, everything will be compatible. Okay, what's this guy doing? Oh, well, must be joining up with that. How about this one? Well, must be coming back there. How about this one? Well, trajectories can't cross. This guy has got a, it can't cross, must be doing this. All right, what is that trajectory? Starts zero. Omega, on the other hand, is big and positive. Omega, big and positive. I'm scared. Okay, omega starts, theta is zero, but omega big and positive. It went around, slowed up, but continued beyond pi, and in fact went too far. It continued to go here, and then it finally wound around that one. Now do you see why we had to have all the critical points? You have to have all the critical points and not just the two physical ones, because the other critical points are necessary to describe a complicated motion which goes round and round and round until finally it crashes. Okay. Okay, you're going to practice drawing these pictures and interpreting them in recitation tomorrow.